Blog Talk Radio.
Our community
do not matter to us, the people. Our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. And this evening, a little story, as I always like to begin, with a story to get your attention or keep your attention. And it is our dear friend and political analyst, Glenn Ford, said, here we go again, and this time we're going around the circle around the Trumpocalypse. Great words, Glenn. We're all involved in how bad Mr. Trump is. And I would like to tell you, it is not Mr. Trump. I'm going to go back to one of my early political lessons from Queen Mother Moore, who said to me a long time ago, and I'm talking 60 years ago, when she said, Ralph, say everything correctly because words are very important. Now, here's an example. Now, we consider ourselves as activists, and we allow this government to play us in the game of ping pong, and we're the ball. We, the people, are the ball. They hit us back and forth. And this is the latest hitting back and forth, and it seems that we've fallen for it. We have Mr. Trump, the boogeyman, and we have to go to the less of a lesser of a boogey woman, who is Hillary Clinton, or whatever, or whoever. Now, I'm going to say it straight. Mr. Trump is merely the latest terrorist, and I use that word advisedly. Mr. Trump is merely the latest terrorist who is vying for the position of President of the United States. And a terrorist is a person who creates terror upon the people without a just reason. Now, I'm going to go back a little way to an outstanding, well-known terrorist who was vying for the position of president. And his name was George Wallace. And George Wallace, his terror was a terror that was perpetrated on people of color in America. Now, you can look it up and see how many black people were lynched, people of color were lynched over the years. There are many books on it, and I won't go into a whole history of the people who were terrorized. And Mr. Wallace said, segregation yesterday, segregation today, and segregation forever. And he was backed up by terrorist police departments that lynch people. Even a police department.
Please call back.
About killing of black men will never mind going to trial. He killed them and bragged about it. And so, one of the things that happened with lynching, what a lynch is, what an act of lynching is, they do not care if they got the person who was guilty of a crime. Germans used it very well, like the Americans. Collective guilt. If you were black, you could be lynched, burned, terrorized in every fashion. So for every moment that you were walking, you could be living in fear, because you didn't need to be guilty of anything. We call it breathing while black. DWI, driving while Indian. This is a tactic used by justify in the present society this collective guilt, to punish everyone, guilty or not, but the reason, the rationale, is to keep a people fearful. And so, Governor George Wallace was a terrorist, but nobody called him that. We called him a Dixiecrat. And you see how that minimized a word, a Dixiecrat, somebody who was in the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party voted with these terrorists called Dixiecrats on every issue, but our liberal, so-called liberal Democratic candidates were able to work with this terrorist, supposedly against the Republicans. Now, I could continue with example after example on what's happening in terms of terrorism and the use of correct words, but we have some subjects here we would like to cover this evening, and so let us get into it right away. And I would love for our brother, Larry, to talk about what's happening in his section of the country. For many a moon, he was a supporter of Reverend Pinckney, and now it becomes clearer and clearer why Reverend Pinckney is in jail. He called for the recall of our politicians who lied to us. He called Rick Snyder the Ricktator in Michigan. And when he talked about fiscal managers, he said, it is coming to your town and your city soon. They trained 63 of them, and they didn't need 63 of them from Benton Harbor, Michigan. They went, put one in Flint, Michigan, who saved $100 a day for the state and poisoned the people of Flint, Michigan. And so, without further ado, I'm going to ask Brother Larry to make comment on our Ricktators, make comment on our terrorists called Dixiecrats, and our other, and there are many other terrorists who ran for president and who fit the bill as to being called terrorists. But like I say, that's another story. Larry Pinckney, are you there?
I am, my brother, of course, and as always, I extend to you my love and strength. And I extend my love and strength, as always, to Sister Betty Davis and to our dear, beloved Sister Lynn Stewart. I also extend my greetings to the listening audience. Thank you very, very much, Brother Ralph, Sister Betty, and Sister Lynn. Let me say this right off the bat. You know, I'm so glad, Brother Ralph, that you mentioned George C. Wallace. I remember him directly. In fact, I remember it so well. I happened to have been in the state of Maryland at the time when George C. Wallace had many, shall I say, speaking engagements. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that George C. Wallace was a member of the Democratic Party. Let me say that again, the Democratic Party. But let me also mention a well-known former U.S. senator who was in the Senate for many, many years, and he was a former Ku Klux Klan organizer. In fact, it is known that he recruited at least 150 of his so-called friends to the Klan, none other than U.S. Senator, the late U.S. Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia. Also, by the way, a member of the Democratic Party. Okay? So when we think of people like Donald Trump, let us also remember Robert Byrd, George C. Wallace, Hillary Clinton. I call her Hillary the Butcher Clinton. We came, we saw, he died, Clinton. Okay? And we need to understand our history. We need to understand, frankly, ourselves in the context of history. Reverend Pinckney, Reverend Edward Pinckney, and as I said to him, I guess this was over a year ago now, Ralph, but as I said to Reverend Pinckney, it was just a matter of time before the authorities would seek to silence him. And I was speaking to him in prison on the phone, all right? And, of course, this is what happens with our political prisoners, but it happens because we, everyday ordinary folk, and in this case, especially black folk, we don't take care of our own, okay? You know, as Curtis Mayfield said in one of his songs, you know, he said he's no one serious, and it makes me furious. That's a direct quote from a song that Brother Curtis sang and wrote called Freddy's Dead. Well, we're not just talking about Freddy. Freddy is all of us. You know, Freddy is all of us, our political prisoners, whether it's Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, Seth Hayes, et cetera, it's an endless list, as Gil Scott-Heron said, that really won't be missed. We need to get rid of that list by getting our political prisoners out. And that means getting ourselves out. So whether it's Reverend Pinckney, whether it's Mumia, whether it's Leonard, whether it's Brother Seth, you know, whether it's our brother in Angola prison in Louisiana, whether, I mean, it is an endless list. My point is, you know, we need to understand that this is a very, very real struggle. Terrorism begun on the North American continent, or I should say the so-called North American continent, named after Amerigo Vespucci, but of course we know that there were millions of indigenous native people here on this continent who had their own names and their own civilizations, okay? But moving on, my point is that terrorism begun with the genocide of the indigenous people and the subsequent enslavement of black people, that is to say Africans who were brought here in the filthy, stinky, bloody holes of slave ships. The wealth of the corporate enterprise in this country, places, esteemed places like Yale University, Brown University, guess where their wealth came from? You got it, the slave trade. All right? Dare I use the word trade as if we are only commodities and not human beings. I remember back in the early to mid-60s where in Selma, Alabama, and in Mississippi, or as our dear beloved sister sings in her song, Nina Simone in her song, Mississippi Goddamn, Mississippi Goddamn. Well, as Brother Malcolm X said, everything south of the Canadian border is Mississippi, is the South, all right? And we need to understand that and stop going for the goat. And as Brother Glenn Ford made clear, and I'm so glad you mentioned our comrade Brother Glenn, because he has been speaking truth to power for a very long time. And hopefully I have been amongst that group, as have you, Ralph, and you, Betty, and you, Sister Lynn. Why is it, by the way, that I keep referring to black, white, brown, red, and yellow people as my brothers and sisters? Well, if anybody wants to know that, I would suggest that they look up the writings of John Henry Clark. Y'all know who John Henry Clark is. Of course you do, I hope. An incredible historian. You know, there's an article on Diop and the new lighter on African history that deals with the African origin of, quote, civilization. Please check it out. This is by John Henry Clark, Chiak Anta Diop and the new light on African history, John Henry Clark. Hey, you know what? The mother continent is Africa, like it or not. Black, white, brown, red, and yellow folk, like it or not. That's reality. Just as this planet, Mother Earth, includes us all. So I'm going to end, right now and say thank you all. You know, the horrors going on in Michigan, whether it's Flint, Michigan, whether it's Benton Harbor, Michigan, whether it's Detroit, Michigan, are the same horrors that are affecting us and being carried out against us, all of us, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, all of us throughout this country, all right, whether it's L.A., New York, D.C., San Francisco, Oakland, Newark, wherever. The struggle goes on. A luta continua. The struggle continues. But you got to get involved. You can't sit on the sidelines and say, oh, I wish I could have, should have done it. No, you do it now. You do it now. Do it as if your life depends on it. Because you know what, my brothers and sisters, my sisters and brothers, your life does depend on it. Our lives depend on it. And as you say, Brother Ralph, black lives have never mattered. Indeed, no lives have ever mattered to these blood-sucking, avaricious, lying hypocrites. And that includes the blood-sucking, avaricious, hypocritical, double-talking, I'll stop there, person, creature named Barack Obama, the systemic charter boy for empire. Thank you so much. Stay strong. Stay vigilant. All power to the people. Love you, brothers and sisters. Love you all.
Well, thank you so much for that, Black Duke. As a true soldier and provoking journalist, I think you have an opinion, and I hope everyone is benefited by your truth.
All right, I want to acknowledge that we've got some guests now. 901-3500. Are you there? 901. Last four digits, 2500. Are you there? 901. 2500. Are you still there? Okay, the mic is open. We're going to go to 731. First digits. 731. 1215. Are you, can you acknowledge us? Can you hear us? Hello? 731.
Yes, 12, I'm 15. Listening.
All
yes,
right.
I'm listening.
Oh, you're just listening. Okay, thank you for tuning in. We want to acknowledge Sister Glenn, but we also want to say Brother Richie. Are you with us this evening? Brother Richie. Hello, Brother Richie. 646-8367.
646-8367.
Is that me? Yes, 836-67. Is that you, Tom?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We did recognize your number. We'll be calling on you shortly. Okay, Sister Ray. Okay. We're going to turn the mic over to you before we go to Brother Tom. And Ann Lamb has asked you to give the update for political prisoners. She has had to... she had another engagement this evening, and she said she would like to rely on you, in addition to what you normally do for our political prisoners in the death camp, to give the update on Seth or anyone else that you feel should be mentioned this evening. Mr. Lynn, are you with us this evening?
Yes, I am. So,
go ahead.
Hello?
Let's hear it. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Hello?
Lynn? Go ahead.
Yes, I'm on.
Yes.
I'm not getting any
speak.
Response. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Please speak, Lynn.
Okay.
Lynn,
I'm
going
to try to speak fairly quickly because the time has been rushing past us here. I do want to say that today is the anniversary of the terrible earthquake in Haiti. And Haitian groups all over the country are having meetings today to discuss why nothing has happened in Haiti. And we know nothing has happened because the Clinton machine and the Red Cross and you name it, these other NGOs have stolen all the money. And they are out of it now, and the Haitians are left with a destroyed country. And so that is something to just think about on this day. I also want to raise the issue, that group out in Oregon that has been, we have been media whipped by, the guys with the cowboys, the hats and the guns, who are taking back public land for the public. And we are being led down a primrose path when we try to understand from the media what is going on. I would just call to people's attention that when Native Americans took over Alcatraz, when Native Americans took over Wounded Knee, when various other groups took over lands that belonged to them, this was not the reaction to stand back. It was to go in with guns blazing and clear them out. This group, interestingly enough, does not want land for the public. That's who has the land now. They want land for the loggers, land for the ranchers, land for the interests. The interests, the traders, the same ones who raped the land originally. And I would add to that that the native groups that were forced off that land, particularly the Paiute people, they have first claim on that land. Not the state of Oregon, not the United States, and certainly not this ragtag, not our kind of folks, people who are out there with guns and cowboy hats and are being given a media treatment that I can only call a fawning because they are making much of their stand. Well, their stand is the stand we fight all the time, and that is the stand of exclusion, not inclusion. I also want to bring to your attention, speaking of Native Americans, that our brother Leonard Peltier is having a difficult time medically. It seems that we jump from one fire to the next, and out of the Mumia fire and the Seth fires, now it's the Leonard fire. He has been diagnosed with an aneurysm, that's a blood clot. He will need to have an operation, or that clot can move at any time and kill him. We know what prison medicine is really all about. We know what the death camps are all about, and we know that they have wanted to get rid of Leonard Peltier for a long time. Please call the prison, Coleman Prison, FCI, or call the BOP hotline number, which is on the website. Speak up for Leonard, because Leonard is really in a dire position. I also want to say that on Sunday, one of the most important events of the year, which has grown and grown, is the political prisoner dinner held in New York, honoring all political prisoners. And I'm proud to say they have chosen me and my ex-client, friend, comrade, hero, Sekou Odinga, to keynote this dinner on Sunday, the 17th, from 3 to 7 p.m. It is really worthwhile. The families, the people that have suffered through these long years of incarceration on behalf of people like Abdul-Majid, on behalf of the folks that are doing these horrendous Oscar Lopez Rivera, etc., will be at that dinner, and you can offer to them whatever help you can offer. I wanted to close, and Ralph, you can shut me down if you want, if there's too much other stuff. I was going to read a poem, but I know your time constraints are great, so I will hold off from doing that unless you believe you would like me to do it.
Please read your poem. Your words of wisdom are the things that we look forward to each week. Please.
Okay, well, this is a poem that I have read many times. It is sort of indicative of where we are right now. Everybody has been fighting and fighting and fighting, and we don't get a lot of victories. And it seems like the Trumpites or the Trumpets are out there, and they are getting the publicity, and they are doing the... And Barack Obama, I couldn't agree with Larry Pinkney more. He is certainly, he is the clown face on white imperialism, on white empire. If you like Star Wars, he is the empire, and he is striking back. And if Guantanamo, which was supposed to be closed 8 years ago, still goes on, we know whose fault that is. But I want to read tonight from, I was going to read the poem that I have read many, many times, about the Springdale Mall. It's called The Hard Rain, and it's by Tony Hoagland, and it just seems appropriate for some reason right now. It is, after I heard it's a hard rains are going to fall, played softly by an accordion quartet through the ceiling speakers at Springdale Shopping Mall, I understood there's nothing we can't pluck the stinger from. Nothing we can't turn into a soft drink flavor or a T-shirt. Even serenity can become something horrible if you make a commercial about it. We're losing smiling, white-haired people. Quoting Thoreau to sell retirement homes in the Everglades where the swamp has been drained and bulldozed into a 19-hole golf course with electrified alligator barriers. You can't keep beating yourself up, Billy, I heard the therapist say on television to the teenage murderer. About all those people you killed, you just have to be the best person you can be, one day at a time. And everybody in the audience claps and weeps a little because the level of deep feeling has been touched, and they want to believe that... One moment... They want to believe that the power of forgiveness is greater than the power of consequence or history. Dear Abby, my father is a businessman who travels. Each time he returns from one of his trips, his shoes and his trousers are covered with blood. But he never forgets to bring me a nice present. Should I say something? Signed, America. I used to think I was not part of this, that I could mind my own business and get along. But that was just another song that had been taught to me since birth, whose words I was humming under my breath as I was walking through the Springdale Mall. Echo.
Well, thank you so much.
Echoing Larry,
continue.
The time is upon us. Echoing your credo, Ralph, we cannot waste any time. We must get out there. We must do what has to be done to liberate not only our prisoners, but also ourselves. Thank you. Good night.
Well, thank you so much for that, Lynn. And I've heard you read that, and the lines... where when he comes back, there is blood on his shoes and on his trousers. everybody never forgets to give a gift. Well, what is happening in America, they are coming back, but they're coming back without a gift. They're taking, because people around the world are taking their countries back. But I will not continue, although I would like to follow up on that. I'm going to call on Tom Syracuse to give us his words, his wonderful words of wisdom that he has been bringing to us each week. Tom, are you there?
Thank you, Brother Ralph. Thank you, Brother Ralph. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
I want to extend my my salutations to Sister Lynn and to Sister Betty Davis and to Brother Larry and whoever else comes on the call. I certainly want to underscore the importance of what all of you have been saying about how endemic racism is in the entire country and in political parties. You know, a lot of people think that the Democrats somehow are less racist, more sympathetic to the needs of people of color, and yet we see a situation in, for example, I think that Governor Wallace was used as an example of a Democrat, and well, look at the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, who put up the horrendous, totally unnecessary death of the young his name just escaped my in Chicago.
There are so many of them. They need not be named, but we know the situation.
Here you have a situation of Democrats who try to play themselves off as friends of people of color, and we know how racist they are. And right here in New York City, here we have a mayor. What has he said about the Eric Garner case? I haven't heard him say anything lately. The only officer that is cited after almost 2 years has been Sergeant Kizzy Adonis, a woman of color who was not involved in this killing. She actually told these policemen to let up on him, and they ignored her, and yet she becomes the first officer, of course, a person of color, to face a reprimand. And the only person who has been arrested has been Ramsey Orta, who recorded this that fatal chokehold on his cell phone. He's been arrested multiple times, and his life has been made a living hell for releasing this thing. So, you know, the other day, I saw a bunch of people in my neighborhood collecting signatures for Bernie Sanders. And so I went over to them and I said, now, if Bernie Sanders should lose the Democratic primary, he has a certain popularity among rank-and-file Democrats, he certainly does not hold that same popularity among the delegates to the Democratic convention. So if he loses this primary, and he already announced that he will not buck the Democratic Party, even though he calls himself a socialist, and that he would support whoever the Democratic Party nominates, including Hillary. So I told him, I asked him, so if he loses, who would you vote for? Would you vote for Hillary Clinton? And now one of them said no. So a few of them nodded their heads, yes. So I said, well, why vote for Hillary Clinton? And the answer was, the usual answer, well, what other choice do we have? She's the lesser of the two evils. And, of course, Glenn Ford of the Black Agenda, he so aptly put it, no, the Democrats, or Obama, or Clinton, or whoever you want to name in the Democratic Party, they're not the lesser of the two evils. They are the more effective of the two evils. And it doesn't seem to occur to the so-called progressives and liberals that there are other parties on the ballot besides the corporate, racist, Republican, and Democratic parties. We can't vote for them, like the Green Party, because you don't have a chance to win. And God forbid that it's a close election and Hillary loses and some Republican gets in. Well, what will happen is that you'll just get another evil. There won't be any real change in what's going on. And yet, people persist. I think this refusal to get out of the two-party box is an example of racism in itself. That's all I have to say.
Yes, well, it's an interesting thing how they play that game of ping pong, not only between the Democratic and Republican parties, but they play the game of ping pong within the parties. And I think the failure of those of us who call ourselves the left or progressives or even liberals is that we don't stand for what we want. I heard a gentleman who is on deathbed. He's dying. And one of the problems he has is that he doesn't want to go into a home because he has no resources. He owns his own home, but if he goes into a home, nursing home, they will take his resources, his home, to pay for the nursing home. And we happen to come across the question of who he would vote for, and he says he would vote for Mr. Trump because he says what he means. And I feel that even to death, people lie about it. They will vote for Mr. Trump. It's their own...
Well, Hitler said what he means. I suppose this guy would vote for Hitler.
Yeah, probably. But I think that we have to recognize that people know Trump as a racist, and they will hide behind anything to vote for him. And this has been the story of American politics, the language that is understood by everyone. And I say, have we forgotten about single-payer health care? This is what we started several years ago, single-payer health care. Mr. Obama comes in with the Affordable Care Act, which does something. And people accept that as a step forward, when really it's a masking of a step backward that makes the pharmaceuticals, the medical industry, better off than before, and makes the American public worse off than before. But we're not fighting for that anymore. We're worried about the Trumpocalypse, this nonsense of Hillary going back and forth, and we with Bernie Sanders, who calls himself a socialist, who would do the same things that the Democrats do, invading every place, jumping into cauldrons that they can't jump out of. And what Mr. Trump really represents, and he says it all of the time, I'm going to make America the way it used to be, strong, dictator to the world. Everybody's going to fear us. And this is his calling card, and this is what America is looking for, like a child, like children, waiting to hear a good story. But I want to tell them it's never going back to that. It is never going back to that. When 1949 came and the Chinese people took control of their country, their resources, their interests, the world turned upside down. And it has never gone back. When the Vietnamese people said they wanted their freedom, they had a long, 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 long group of lies to talk about why they couldn't have their freedom. They lied to the Vietnamese people. They lied to the American people. When somebody said, listen, this is a new world. The people of Vietnam have defeated an imperialist nation, the French. And need I say it again, the French were very much involved in Haiti and the destruction there. But when people said, you know, the Vietnamese are serious, they have defeated the French, what was the answer from this country? We are not the French. And as Betty points out, if you watch late night TV, you will find out that the Americans won the war in Vietnam. No, they did not. The people of Vietnam won their war because they had a different philosophy than we as Americans have. We, particularly as people of color, have a philosophy of we will endure. And in Germany, the people who were being slaughtered by the Nazis had a philosophy, we must survive, that is victory. But the Vietnamese had a philosophy, victory at any cost. And this is why they won, and we had a blundering leadership that blundered into Afghanistan. Everybody in the world, from Alexander the Great, knew, don't go there. But we didn't. When I say we, I'm talking about the American government went into Afghanistan. And there's no getting out. It just muddies the water, and it's going to cost you blood and a lot more. And Iraq, this mess in Iraq, the destruction of the Middle East, started a long time ago. And we've been suckered into the idea by Mr. Trump and others that we can do it. We, and I say we, you know, advisedly. I'm not in because I was a draft resister for Korean War. I said no. I wasn't as vocal as Muhammad Ali, but I say to myself, no Korean called me anything. And no, I'm not going to any war. And no, I'm not going to be straight up about it. And I don't know about the statute of limitations. I just didn't go. And I left. I hid in plain sight because I felt everybody who went to war for this imperialist country was denying their own humanity, was denying themselves the truth, was a part of, wanted to be a part of the Roman Empire and destroy everything to become a Roman citizen. No, I don't want to be a citizen, and I've been told here, a Roman citizen, I've been told here I'm talking too much, and so I will turn it over. Who is next? Tom, would you like to comment on that? Or Larry, whoever would like to comment on what I have just said. Richie, all mics are open. Joel, are you there? Come in and give me some words of wisdom on whatever you think is very important for the audience to hear. No one has anything to say.
No, I'm talking, Ralph. I'm with you, brother. Let me just say this, that I think that we need to understand, as you made clear, and I want to reiterate, you see, represents a significant portion of the mentality, or should I say the lack of mentality, as in L-A-C-K, of the American, the U.S. empire. And we must understand that we're not, you know, Trump and all the rest of these insidious folks, whether it's Hillary Clinton, and I gotta include Bernie Sanders in this. You know, if people get upset, let the chips fall where they may. But he's shepherding people into the graveyard of social movement, and that's the Democratic Party. So I just gotta be blunt, all right? And all of them, it is time for us to get out of the box. Get out of the box. I don't care about your color. Black, white, brown, red, yellow. I don't care about your color. I don't care about your gender. It's time to get out of the box. And I want to go back to what I originally said. We must free our political prisoners, because until we do, then we are prisoners. So I'm going to stop right there. I just want to thank everybody again, brother. That's my comment right there. And by the way, thanks, Tom, for what you said, the thought. You gave me an idea, something to write about. Much appreciated, Mr. Tom Syracuse. Yeah, I heard you loud and clear. All power to the people. Thanks, Ralph.
Thank you, Larry. I'd like to make a short announcement. Bill Gilson, who has been the chair of the New York City chapter of Veterans for Peace, passed away yesterday. He was a dear friend of mine, and he was a steadfast supporter and fighter for in the peace movement, and with those veterans who came back knowing what war really was all about. He often quoted General Smedley Butler, the Marine Corps, who in the 1930s said that after his career in the Marines, he came to the conclusion that the Marines were being sent all over the world, and this was in the 1930s before World War II, that the Marines were nothing but hitmen for capitalist corporations overseas.
And he said, "War is a racket." You remember that, Tom? He said, "War is a racket." I just had to throw that in. You got my blood running. I love it. Thank
you, bro. He said that too, yes.
Well, thank you so much for that. And we must remember when Dwight D. Eisenhower said that we must be aware of the coming military-industrial organization. We know that it came in on the coattails of racism. We know that Strom Thurmond, because of his racist statements, because of his racist position, and a long-time representative in Congress, became very powerful, and he was the instrument of the military budgets. And he gave the military everything they wanted. And you know what happens when people get weapons. They use them. They believe in them. And so we see the in military industrial complex came in on the coattails of a racist, Strom Thurmond, and who was very instrumental in funding the military industrial complex. And it's one of the things that people don't know. Strom Thurmond said, used the Negro word almost as much as George Wallace, and at the same time, he fathered a young woman, a child, and he financed this young woman into college. And so what a standard, what a double standard. He was using people. He was using people with racist but he wasn't unusual. He just happened to be a man who accumulated problems. Go ahead, Lynn. Yes,
well,
Lynn,
if you
want
to end your program on a somewhat of a lighter note, Ralph.
Go ahead.
Hello? It's Lynn.
Yes,
I
go
just
ahead,
said if the latest Trumpism from the circus is that, and it is so indicative of who he is and who Americans are. His latest thing was that the NFL, like America, has become soft because they're protecting these football players from their concussions. And that kind of softness is just not to be tolerated. That all this calling of unnecessary roughness and the hit that was given by the Cincinnati Bengals in their playoff at the last minute was a perfectly legitimate hit. And no, they are making the game, they are making football for softies. If that isn't the height of something, but also it still has that strand of racism in it. Because which football players are the ones with these concussions? Which football players end up battered and not able to put a sentence together? Mostly black football players. So Mr. Trump wants to go back to gladiator days in politics, in the world, and on the football field. Thanks, Ralph.
I wonder what caused Trump's softness of in his head.
Maybe he played football without a helmet. But if anyone else would like to comment on that wonderful, wonderful opening by Lynn, you are welcome. All mics are open. And I would like to say that this Lynn says which players are the victims of this head trauma. I would like to talk about a quarterback, Donovan McNabb, who was a quarterback of color, who they jumped on, hit with their helmet in the head, everything you could name, and the officials were colorblind in that it was okay to attack Donovan McNabb, but you couldn't wave at some of the other white quarterbacks. This is indicative of racist America, and racist America watched every Sunday, and they never complained. And as long as you are very careful about which quarterback or which person it is that you hit on the head, it is okay. But worse than that, it's the effect that this gladiator attitude has on our young athletes in high school. And there was a young man who had a concussion. He happened to be white. And I asked him about the concussion, and he had said, and he is very ill. He said he would do it again because high school football, that moment of being the gladiator, the all-time gladiator, was important to him. And so until we get past the mentality of racism, gladiatorism, classism, you know, sexism, all of these terrible isms, we're in trouble. Betty, do you have anything to add to that?
I want to thank all our panelists this evening, and I really want to read a response that Ralph Winter sent to someone who accused Glenn Ford of the Black Agenda Report of Obama bashing. And this is what Ralph said. Glenn Ford is a truth teller. If you can't point out where he didn't tell the truth, you must let the chips fall where they may. If the shoe fits, wear it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the truth will set you free. If you have the courage to face the truth of reality. And that is our position on those people who accuse Glenn Ford, a truth teller, of Obama bashing. And of course, I don't have to tell you that the person who made this criticism of Glenn Ford was a person of color. Also, who fully understands that the strongest tool in the hand of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. Programs like this will always be a necessity. I want to thank you, Brother Tom, Brother Larry, Sister Lynn, and Brother Ralph Pointer, our general, man of the hour. And that's all for Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, Tuesday, January the 12th, 2016. See you next Tuesday, and thank you.
Good night, all.
For the music to come on.
It never came on. We're off.
It's not bad. I'm trying to get a longer. Okay. All right.
Great.
Okay. It never came on. We won't use this. I'll bring my laptop.
Great, clever.
Did you hear that? You need to. That was Tom Collins' call. Okay, turn the speaker to the computer.